In the new year, Congress could take up legislation aimed at improving oversight of the nation's crime labs. But critics are skeptical and say reform is unlikely, despite some recent major drug lab scandals, such as the one in Massachusetts, in which a chemist is now in jail for falsifying thousands of drug tests in criminal cases. WBUR's Deborah Becker reports.
Although former Massachusetts chemist Annie Ducon was sent to prison in November for falsifying drug tests, many of the tens of thousands of criminal cases affected by her bogus testing are still in limbo. Boston defense attorney Todd Pomerleau represents about two dozen people convicted based on Ducon's tests.
We're basically in this holding pattern where we keep waiting. We've been waiting for, you know, the proverbial day in court.
When the lab scandal broke in August of 2012, those incarcerated based on evidence that Ducon tested did have a day in court. Many were quickly identified and had their sentences stayed. More than 3,200 so-called drug lab court hearings have been held, and 352 people have been released from Massachusetts prisons. We spoke with one defendant who didn't want his name used for fear of possible retaliation here and deportation to a country where some drug crimes are punishable by death. He says after serving 4 years in prison, he was one of the first drug lab defendants to appear before a judge via video conference from the Norfolk County Jail.
From a person that was held on bail and serving 8 to 12 years and then going to in front of the judge and the judge is like $3,000 bail, I was like in a state of shock. So that from that moment, I was like, okay, which way is the door? How do I get out of here?
He was released on conditions. He has a curfew and wears a GPS monitoring device. But he's been to court about a dozen times, and his case remains unresolved.
Why do we put a justice system forward, this democracy, as they call it, right? I don't have the problem of doing my time or serving my time for what I did wrong, but justify it and to waste taxpayers' money for the past year and a half, I don't think that's fair, and people should be up in arms at that and say, you know what, you guys didn't follow the law, just like he didn't follow the law.
Matt Siegel with the ACLU of Massachusetts is looking at legal ways to try to get the state to deal with these cases more quickly.
The state has already spent hundreds of millions of dollars on this scandal, and what have we gotten for that expenditure? The answer is almost nothing. Certainly hasn't been justice. It hasn't been a better approach on the drug war.
Prosecutors say they're waiting for a few things, a court ruling on how to deal with the affected cases and the state inspector general investigation into all lab operations. Attorney Pomerleau says with Massachusetts having the nation's largest lab scandal, defense attorneys here are now more likely to question forensic testing and to scrutinize the analyst involved, especially because Ducon was also convicted of lying about her credentials.
She's testifying under oath, apparently, that she had a master's degree, and the Commonwealth couldn't even confirm whether she went to the school. You know, I mean, I require my interns to show me a transcript, and apparently the lab had different protocols in place for employment.
Here's the thing. There are no national regulations governing forensic analyst credentials. In fact, there are no uniform standards for the labs themselves. And there is more than one group that accredits labs. The nonprofit that accredits most of the crime labs in the country is called AskClad Lab. AskClad Lab's Chief Operations Officer, John Nooner, says accreditation can only go so far. And the issue in Massachusetts probably was deeper.
It just sounds like an ethical issue. Certainly a laboratory can have all the policies and procedures in the world, but if you don't have ethical people working there, then you're going to have problems.
AskClad Lab accreditation is good for 5 years. It requires yearly inspections, which are announced, and corrective action plans are drawn up if violations are found. Nooner admits that, to his knowledge, no lab has ever had its accreditation revoked. The now-closed Hinton Drug Lab, where Annie Ducon worked, was not accredited. But forensic consultant Brent Turvey says that could have made things even worse.
In the Hinton Lab, if they were accredited, the incentive to commit the kind of fraud that Annie Ducon was committing would have been higher, because the issue would have been maintaining accreditation. In fact, the majority of labs that were forensic fraud are exposed, the majority of them are AskClad Lab accredited.
Turvey, who's written a book about forensic fraud, says there have been at least 12 crime lab scandals in the U.S. over the past 2 years. He says with more criminal cases relying on forensics, lab oversight is something Congress needs to address.
The forensic science community is not like any other community. It is not a beholding to anyone other than the police and prosecutors. The question is, are we creating crime fighters or are we creating scientists? And do we require them to tell the truth or do we try to require them to help the police and prosecutions?
A report to Congress raised that same question 5 years ago, but there's been little movement toward change. In Massachusetts, most forensic testing is now overseen by state police. In November, a chemist who had worked with Ducon but was moved to the state police lab after the scandal broke was fired for lying about her credentials. For 90.9 WBUR, I'm Deborah Becker.